nice day at the zoo at the beginning of a Memorial Day weekend becomes a moment of terror. A 400-pound gorilla found a four-year-old boy in the Cincinnati Zoo primate exhibit on Friday. He climbed over a barrier, and when the crowd saw the gorilla dragging the boy, it went wild. Zoo officials got a high-powered rifle, and the gorilla was shot and killed. Video of the death of Harambe, the gorilla, instantly were posted online, and thousands responded to a petition to stop zoos altogether. Thane Maynard is director of the Cincinnati Zoo and had a clear message for those second-guessing the zoo's decision.
I mean, the truth is that Western lowland gorillas, of which Harambe is, you know, are a non-aggressive, quite peaceful species. They're not territorial. The main reason for aggression among those sorts of gorillas is a male competitor coming close to some females. So I agree that I don't think that, you know, anyone expert who has looked at the video has seen overt aggression in the gorilla. I think what the zoo was struggling with was the possibility that the crowds and the situation would agitate the gorilla, and either accidentally or because he got so stressed, the child might have been seriously injured. But, you know, I'd like to know more about the, you know, the history of that particular gorilla. And I wish animal care staff, who would obviously know him best of all, had been more directly involved in making a decision about whether he should be shot or not.
And this does raise the question, as you've raised a moment ago, that, you know, what is the plan B here? I mean, what do they have, a clearly worked out plan for something like this, or do they just assume the design will prevent anyone from getting into the caged area or the walled off area? It seems as though they just had no plan.
From the zoo's perspective, that design, the zoo has said, had worked for 38 years. So it's obvious that over time, eventually it didn't work, and they'll obviously revisit it. But I think that the more important point is, no matter what the design, no matter what the plan, when animals are in zoos, bad things can happen. I mean, there was an incident in Argentina just a little while ago where a person entered a lion enclosure and the two lions had to be shot. So when you mix people and animals together in these captive settings, I think it's impossible to prevent any and all types of incidents and problems. And that also, it's important just to say that even when things are going right at zoos, the lives of gorillas, for example, at zoos are not very great lives. I mean, gorillas exhibit many types of stereotypical behaviors which show boredom or stress. They don't like to be looked at, which is obviously why they're there in the zoo. And surveys have indicated that perhaps half of all zoos that keep gorillas give them psychotropic drugs to mood stabilize them. So I think that's really an important message to get out to people, is that the lives in general, regardless of whether there's children accessing an environment, of these animals is a pretty difficult compromised life. And the zoos justify it mainly by saying that they're helping conserve the species. But if you measure their success against the trajectory of all these species that they're allegedly helping promote conservation of, you'd have to say that they're utterly failing in that mission. And so that does really raise a big question about whether zoos can be justified anymore.
You've got two mobs here also. You've got the mob at the zoo freaking out over the kid inside the cage, agitating the gorilla. And presumably the zoo made a decision based, as you're saying, on that crowd. But then you've got another mob on the internet saying, oh, the poor gorilla. I mean, how does that shift so quickly? And are they different people talking?
Well, I think it's very different people talking. I mean, once the child's in the enclosure, you've got a real problem. And probably from the zoo's point of view, you know, I mean, just to be completely blunt about it, the downside of shooting their gorilla, who's one of nine, and that zoo is a very prolific breeder of gorillas, is you have a dead gorilla. The downside of a child being killed is probably, to most of the world, a bigger tragedy and probably a massive lawsuit. And so you can see where the zoo ended up making the decision they made. I do think that if the child had been injured or killed, we'd be having a different conversation. So I do have some sympathy for the quandary the zoo was in. I don't have as much sympathy for just the fact that, you know, the zoos inevitably put people and animals in this sort of position at some point or another.
Is the gorilla an endangered species?
That gorilla is a critically endangered species. And that particular gorilla that they shot is part of a quote-unquote species survival plan, which is mainly a breeding plan to promote and propagate the species. But the reality of zoo breeding programs tends to be that they're breeding gorillas and animals to populate zoos. For example, in the United States, there's never been a single elephant that has ever gone back into the wild. And these gorillas that the Cincinnati Zoo is so good at breeding, are going to other zoos. They're not going to the western lowlands of Africa to repopulate the species there. So what they're talking about is basically preserving a species in captivity. And if that's our measure of success, then I'd say we're failing terribly, because the important thing is to try to conserve the environment in which the gorillas exist in Africa. And I just don't think zoos are really conveying the message bluntly enough to their visitors, what visitors need to do and the ways in which they need to think about their lifestyle that affects these gorillas in the wild.
Tim Zimmerman is a contributing editor to Outside Magazine. Tim, thanks so much.
Thank you.
What about your last visit to a zoo? What was it like? Should we keep animals in zoos? San Mateo, California. I think zoos can serve an important purpose in the education of visitors about animals and the preservation of many species. I was just talking to my granddaughter, with whom I went to the San Francisco Zoo many times. I think she had the best answer. She texted me, "I think conservation and sanctuaries and endangered species should have a home in zoos, but my friends and I dislike the traditional establishment of them where money and people's entertainment are the priority."
This is Michelle calling from Honolulu. Zoos should only be used if their living spaces can replicate how they live in the wild, and the boundaries have to be idiot-proof. That gorilla died because of human error, period.
This is Mark Mannheimer from Bradford, Massachusetts. Ultimately, I am against zoos, as I feel they are not caring and fair for the animals confined there. One cannot help but think of the messages from the many Planet of the Apes films. How would we feel if the tables were turned? Yes, it's nice to educate our children by allowing them to see these animals live, but they can see them live on video and TV, and maybe there would be more encouragement to travel and actually see these animals in their natural environments.
Describe your zoo visit at 8778-MY-TAKE. That's our number. Tweet us at The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.